January 20th, 1977. 3, 2, 1. What will the presidency of Jimmy Carter mean to U.S.-Cuban relations? That's a question being asked by many people here in Cuba, a country that's just about the same distance from Plains, Georgia, as is Washington. There is some expectation here that after 16 years and 5 U.S. presidents, the new Carter administration will open the way for normalization of relations between the U.S. and Cuba. The new Secretary of State, Cyrus Vance, has already hinted that the U.S. will go in the direction of normalization, and few doubt here in Havana that Cuban leaders would respond favorably to U.S. overtures. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. The latest statement by a Cuban leader on U.S.-Cuban relations holds the door open for conversations with President Carter's new administration. Cuba has indicated it would be willing to sit down for discussions with U.S. representatives if the United States takes action to prevent Cuban extremist exile groups in the United States from carrying out aggressive acts against Cuba. U.S. relations with Cuba would bring $700 million of annual trade to the U.S. and would almost certainly raise U.S. prestige in Latin America. There is some expectation here in Havana that President Carter will move towards normal relations with Cuba. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. 16 years and 4 presidents ago, the United States officially ruptured relations with Fidel Castro's revolutionary Cuban regime. In a recent speech here in Havana, Cuba's army chief, Raul Castro, blasted the Ford administration, but in a statement clearly directed at the Carter administration, said Cuba wants peaceful relations with the United States. Cuba, he said, would sit down for discussions with the United States if the U.S. cracks down on terrorist activities by Cuban exile extremists. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance's recent statements lead observers here in Havana to believe that the U.S. might take steps to normalize relations with Cuba. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 22nd, 1977. 3, 2, 1. Cuba, the world's biggest exporter of cane sugar, is planning to produce 1/4 of the world's output of nickel. Cuba has one of the largest nickel reserves in the world, and at present produces about 35,000 tons of the strategic metal annually. 2 new nickel processing plants will be built in Cuba, one with Soviet aid and one with communist bloc Comecon aid. By 1985, Cuban production should be up to 130,000 tons annually. Half of the nickel will be earmarked for Comecon countries and the other half for sale on the world market. A tremendous shot in the arm for Cuba's traditionally sugar-producing economy. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. The announcement about Cuba's future nickel production came in a communique of the Comecon Executive Committee, which finished meetings here in Havana. Cuba is the only non-Eastern European member of Comecon, the Communist Bloc's economic cooperation organization. Cuba now produces 35,000 tons of nickel annually, and by 1985 should be producing 130,000 tons of the strategic metal every year. 2 new nickel processing plants will be in operation by that time, one built with Soviet aid and the other with General Comecon aid. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. Cuba has one of the biggest nickel reserves in the world and now produces 35,000 tons of the strategic metal every year. Now the Soviet Union and Comecon, the Communist Bloc Economic Cooperation Organization, will help to build new nickel processing plants in Cuba. When the plants are running at full production by the mid-1980s, Cuba should be producing 130,000 tons of nickel each year and sizable quantities of cobalt. Half the nickel will be destined for the Communist Bloc countries and the other half for the world market. It will be a tremendous boost to Cuba's economy that has depended on sugar, cigars, and tourism until now. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. January 31st, 1977, 2 a.m.
3, 2, 1. Since 1960, there's been a U.S. embargo on trade with Cuba, but at the Hotel Riviera here in Havana, it looks like an American businessmen's convention is in town. There's a group of American travel agents here, and also a delegation of predominantly black businessmen led by Dr. Carlton Goodlett of San Francisco. Kirby Jones, who's Washington-based Alomar Associates, organizes trips for U.S. businessmen to Cuba, is also here, and it was learned he had a meeting with Fidel Castro. Since last year, representatives of such U.S. businesses as Boeing Aviation and Pepsi Cola have visited Cuba, anticipating the lifting of the U.S.-Cuban trade embargo. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
3, 2, 1. Despite the U.S. embargo on trade with Cuba, you can't walk through the lobby of the Hotel Riviera here in Havana today without bumping into an American businessman. Washington-based Kirby Jones, press secretary of the 1972 McGovern presidential campaign, and a man who makes a business of bringing U.S. business reps to Cuba, is here once again with three companies. It was learned he had a private meeting with Fidel Castro. Another delegation of black businessmen and still another of U.S. travel agents are also here in Havana. All of them are in Cuba for one thing, to investigate the possibilities of U.S.-Cuban trade once the U.S. embargo is lifted. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. Here in Havana, three separate groups of American businessmen,
including a delegation of American travel agents, a group of black businessmen, and representatives of three big U.S. companies. Since last year, 17 U.S. companies have sent reps to Cuba, including Boeing Aviation, Abbott Laboratories, Pepsi-Cola, and National Sugar. Most have been brought down by Kirby Jones of the Washington-based Alamar Associates. It is understood that Jones, press secretary to Senator McGovern's 1972 presidential campaign, held a private meeting with Fidel Castro this past weekend. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
February 1st, 1977. 3, 2, 1. Seven travel bureau representatives from the New York area have been in Cuba for the past week. One of them, Fred Del Pozo, said that the Cubans seem ready to accept American tourists. Del Pozo said the Cubans have been very good hosts, and he believes American tourists in Cuba would be very well treated. The American travel agents here in Cuba think that Cuba will become a big tourist attraction once the U.S. government drops its ban on travel to Cuba. Del Pozo said he hopes that will be soon. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
3, 2, 1.
After a meeting with Fidel Castro here in Havana, Kirby Jones, an American who makes a business of shepherding U.S. business representatives to Cuba, said that he thinks the Cubans are favorably disposed to trading with the United States. Over the past 2 years, Jones has organized trips to Cuba for the representatives of 15 U.S. companies. Fred Del Pozo, one of seven American Travel Bureau representatives, who is also here in Cuba, said that the Cubans seem ready to accept American tourists and predicts that once the U.S. drops its ban on travel, Cuba will once again become a big tourist attraction. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
3, 2, 1.
Secretary of State Cyrus Vance's position that neither the withdrawal of Cuban troops from Angola nor the release of political prisoners is a condition for discussions between the U.S. and Cuba means that there is little in the way of talks between the two countries. The latest Cuban position is that it would be willing to initiate discussions with the United States if the U.S. clamps down on the aggressive activities of Cuban exile extremist groups in the U.S. An indication of Cuba's interest in U.S. trade is the fact that Cuba has picked up the check for visits to Cuba of dozens of U.S. businessmen in recent weeks in order to circumvent U.S. Treasury Department restrictions. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. Here's some actuality with Kirby Jones, whose Washington-based Alamar Associates has brought representatives of 15 American companies to Cuba over the past year. Mr. Jones, what do you think is the Cuban attitude towards trade with the United States?
Well, I think they're very open. They've never had a policy against trading with the United States, and I think their doors and attitudes are open now to trade when the United States will permit that.
I understand you had a conversation with Fidel Castro. What was his attitude towards trade and normalization of relations?
Well, I think he has stated publicly that he would like to see a process of normalization under a basis of mutual respect, and I think he views the possibility of normalization with a very positive attitude.
And how do you see the Carter administration in its attitude towards normalization of relations with Cuba?
Well, they're not tied to previous policies, and I think we've seen some signs of openness and a new direction, and I hope it would continue.
I asked Fred Del Pozo, one of a group of American tourist agents who is now here in Havana, if the Cubans were ready to accept American tourists.
They are very, very much ready. They have been extremely hospitable hosts to us in this 6 days. I've never felt more at home in a foreign country than I have in this last week. It's been an amazing experience.
Picked up on Armed Forces Radio on February 1st, 1977.
That's Saturday morning on Tuesday, February 1st, 1977, on news around the world. U.S.-Cuban relations are headed for a warm-up that could eventually mean business as usual again, including tourists. And that is Cuban joint with Anamar Associates in Washington, D.C., is escorting U.S. businessmen on tours. And tells ABC Lionel Martin what the current Cuban attitude toward the Yankee is.
I think they're very open. They've never had a policy against trading with the United States, and I think their doors and attitudes are open now to trade when the United States will permit them.
Jones met with Premier Castro last week and comments on Castro's outlook.
And I think he is saying publicly that he would like to see a process of normalization under a basis of mutual respect. And I think he views the possibility of normalization with a very positive attitude.
Jones brought U.S. travel agent Fred Toposo to Havana. Toposo, optimistic.
They are very, very much ready. They have been extremely hospitable hosts to us in this 6 days. I've never felt more at home in a foreign country than I have in this last week. It's been an amazing experience.
Travel agent Brett Dupozo. I'm John Bryan.
January 3rd, 1977. 3, 2, 1. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance's desire to hold conversations with Cuba on a renewal of the anti-hijacking agreement will probably be met with a favorable response here in Havana. The agreement was renounced by Cuba last October after Fidel Castro accused the CIA of complicity in the sabotage bombing of a Cuban passenger plane with a loss of 73 lives. Castro said at the time that the renewal of the agreement might be possible if the United States stops aiding aggression against Cuba. The tone of the new Secretary of State's recent statements indicates the U.S. would be willing to do just that, which means Cuba would be ready to enter into talks. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. The Cuban government has stated that it would consider renewing the U.S.-Cuban anti-hijacking agreement if the United States stops aiding aggression against it. The cancellation, to take effect this April, came after the sabotage bombing last October of a Cuban passenger plane with the loss of 73 lives. The CIA was blamed for the bombing, but Cuba did leave the door open for a renewal of the agreement after the elections. The Secretary of State, it would seem, is taking advantage of this open door, and it is not likely the Cubans will slam the door in his face. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. There is little chance that the Cuban government will turn down the Secretary of State's invitation to open talks on a renewal of the U.S.-Cuban anti-hijacking agreement. The agreement was originally signed by the Cubans as a conciliatory gesture towards the United States. It was renounced last October after Cuba accused the CIA of complicity in the sabotage bombing of a Cuban passenger plane. But Cuba kept the door open for a renewal of the agreement after the elections. Observers here in Havana think discussions on the agreement might be the first step towards normalization of relations between the two countries. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
February 10th, 1977. 3, 2, 1. A charter plane carrying Congressman Bingham is expected here in Havana shortly after 1 p.m. There is some speculation in the foreign community here that the New York congressman will be carrying a message from President Carter to Cuban State Council President Fidel Castro. Congressman Bingham will arrive here at what seems to be the beginning of a turning point in U.S.-Cuban relations. Secretary of State Vance has said that the United States is willing to initiate talks with Cuba without any previous conditions, and Fidel Castro has said he is ready to meet with Jimmy Carter. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. Congressman Bingham's visit comes at a time when there are definite indications that relations between Cuba and the United States are warming up. Fidel Castro has indicated that he is ready to meet President Carter, and he has said that trade would benefit both nations. It is known that Dr. Castro feels that the U.S. should drop its Cuban trade embargo as one of the first steps toward serious negotiations. Secretary of State Vance has also held the door open for conversations, and there is speculation here in Havana that Congressman Bingham will be carrying a message from the President. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. 1. Cold winds are blowing in from the north here in Cuba today, but Congressman Bingham's visit hints at a warmer political climate in the making. Secretary of State Vance's proposition of U.S.-Cuban talks without previous conditions has been answered by Fidel Castro's complimentary remarks about President Carter on a CBS television interview. Trade will be a main topic of Congressman Bingham's conversations here. In the past year, representatives of 20 U.S. companies, including Boeing Aircraft, have visited Cuba, and observers think here in Havana that any process towards normalization of relations will begin with a lifting of the U.S.-Cuban trade embargo. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
February 11, 1977.
Congressman Jonathan Bingham of New York, chairman of the House Subcommittee on International Trade and Commerce, arrived here in Havana for a six-day visit at the invitation of the Cuban government. It is very likely that Bingham will meet with Cuban President Fidel Castro while he is here in Cuba to discuss such themes as U.S.-Cuban trade and tourism, the anti-hijacking agreement which Cuba has canceled, and other steps towards the normalization of relations between the two countries. His visit comes at a moment when there are signs that some kind of official conversations might begin between Washington and Havana. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. Actuality, questions put to Congressman Bingham on his arrival in Havana. Why are you visiting Cuba at this time, Congressman Bingham?
I'm here not as a negotiator, but as a member of Congress, chairman of a subcommittee which has jurisdiction over such matters as embargoes and trade. And I want to find out as much as I can about what is happening here and what is the attitude of the officials here toward the improvement of relations with the United States.
What about the sentiment in Congress in regards to U.S.-Cuban relations?
There are some members of Congress who are very strongly opposed to any action lifting of the blockade. I'm hopeful that trend is in the direction of a more realistic and a more sensible course. I personally see nothing to be gained by maintaining the embargo, and I see a good deal of benefit that might come from that.
And what about the political climate in the United States regarding U.S.-Cuban relations?
I think the climate is better, certainly, than it was a year ago. I think there is a feeling that movement will be possible. We've noticed some statements to that effect made to Mr. Moyers by the Prime Minister here. And I think the atmosphere in the United States is also a better one. So that I'm hopeful that some forward steps will be possible.
What would be one of the steps the United States could take towards bettering relations with Cuba, Congressman Bingham?
One step might be the lifting of the embargo partially. For example, the embargo on food and medicines and also on tourism. That might be something that could be done quite rapidly. You understand that the embargo was imposed by executive order and does not need action by Congress to be lifted. It could be lifted by the President. And I think President Carter and Secretary of State Vance have a much more, to my mind, a much more flexible and realistic approach to these problems than their predecessors did.
February 12, 1977, Cuba. 3, 2, 1. Here in Cuba, the name of Abraham Lincoln is an honored one. After the revolutionary victory in 1959, one of Cuba's sugar mills was named Abraham Lincoln, and one can spot the word Lincoln on its long smokestack from afar. There is also a language school here in Havana, the biggest, which is named Abraham Lincoln. And although not as apropos on this Lincoln's birthday, there is also a George Washington sugar mill in revolutionary Cuba. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. 3, 2, 1. A few weeks ago, I was out traveling the sugarcane country here in Cuba, and in the distance, I spotted the long smokestack of a sugar mill. As customary, the stack had the name of the sugar mill painted down its side. As I drew close, I read the words Lincoln. It's the Abraham Lincoln sugar mill, and it came as a surprise that here in communist Cuba, after all these years of revolution, Lincoln is so honored. I later found out that the biggest evening language school here in Havana is also named Abraham Lincoln. Lionel Martin, ABC News Havana, on this Lincoln's birthday. 3, 2, 1. Lincoln's birthday is not officially celebrated here in socialist Cuba, but the Cubans honor Lincoln's name nevertheless. Almost every year there is an article about the great emancipator around the time of his birthday, and what is more, there are two permanent landmarks here in Cuba that honor Lincoln's name all year round. There is a big language school in Havana named after Lincoln, and there is an Abraham Lincoln sugar mill, a name given to an old sugar mill after the revolutionary victory in 1959. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. February 12, 1977. Lionel Martin in Havana. Congressman Jonathan Bingham of New York, chairman of the House Subcommittee on International Trade, held a dialogue with University of Havana students. Congressman Bingham hopes to meet with President Fidel Castro before leaving Cuba next Tuesday. Here is some actuality. Congressman Bingham talking about his dialogue with Cuban students. Your dialogue with Havana University students, Congressman Bingham, can be characterized, to put it mildly, as a very frank interchange of opinions.
Definitely sparks were flying and emotions were running quite high. There is no question, a deep-seated resentment against the U.S. for a record which is a pretty sorry record when you look back over it. Bad pigs, the embargo itself, the efforts we made to require other countries or to pressure other countries to abide by the embargo.
How did you feel, Congressman Bingham, about the strong attacks by the University of Havana students on U.S. foreign policy towards Cuba?
I don't find it surprising that there is a degree of bitterness, but I think, on the other hand, that there is a recognition that with the new administration and recent developments indicate an opportunity now for a real change.
Bingham, you were going to discuss the renewal of the anti-hijacking agreement with the Cubans. In canceling the agreement, Cuba accused the United States of underwriting terrorist activities against them.
In connection with the renewal of the hijacking agreement, the Cubans would have to recognize that we couldn't guarantee that there'd be no terrorism anywhere in the world against Cuba, but that we certainly would welcome clarification of what President Castro had in mind in his October 15th speech, when he said that we should provide some guarantee that would effectively halt terrorist activity. These are things that could well be discussed between our two countries.
Congressman Bingham, the Cuban students accused the CIA of being directly responsible for last September's sabotage bombing of a Cuban Airlines plane that took 73 lives.
It was possible that those responsible for this horrible crime, and I expressed my revulsion at the crime, had at one time or another been in touch or in contact with the CIA, or perhaps even some greater relationship, but that type of activity as a part of CIA authorized policy was passed, and that I did not believe that it had occurred a year ago, and certainly it was not the current policy.
The Cuban students asked you, Congressman Bingham, what you would do as chairman of the Congressional Subcommittee on International Trade to bring about a normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba.
I tried to point out to them that really, as a practical matter, the only chance of a change in the U.S. policy will come from a leadership from the administration. And if that occurs, then my subcommittee and my role could be one of support in the Congress for any necessary steps that might have to be taken legislatively to support the administration's action.
And finally, Congressman Bingham, how did the students at the University of Havana take your suggestion that the Cuban government release its political prisoners?
They responded to this rather aggressively, I would say, by saying that the men in the street in Cuba feels very strongly that these were counter-revolutionaries, that they should be in prison, and then pointing to the failures of the United States as they see it in the field of human rights, they said, we have political prisoners also. One of them mentioned the Attica episode and the long incarceration of one of the Puerto Rican independentistas who was involved in the shooting incident in the House of Representatives, and also mentioned our failure to carry out what they consider basic human rights in terms of the right of every person to a good living, to a job, to health care, and so on.
February 14th, 1977.
3, 2, 1.
Congressman Jonathan Bingham of New York, chairman of the House Subcommittee on International Trade and Commerce, spent 6 hours with Fidel Castro. They spent their first 2 hours at Castro's office here in Havana and then drove to Varadero Beach east of Havana. Bingham said that Castro showed a detailed knowledge of events in the United States and that the conversation was very fruitful. The New York congressman says he will report to President Carter and Secretary of State Vance, and that he thinks there is now an opportunity for normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
3, 2, 1.
Congressman Bingham said here in Havana that he and Fidel Castro touched on a wide range of topics during their 6 hours together. The main topic was that of U.S.-Cuban relations. Castro showed a detailed knowledge of U.S. events, and the New York congressman found the Cuban leader a remarkable person with a great deal of charm. Bingham refused to go into detail on his conversation because, he said, he would first have to report to President Carter and Secretary of State Vance. He did describe the conversation as fruitful and thought that there is now a good opportunity for U.S.-Cuban relations. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana.
3, 2, 1.
The New York congressman said here in Havana that his conversation with Fidel Castro was very fruitful. They spoke about different facets of U.S.-Cuban relations, but Congressman Bingham would not go into detail. He said he would report to President Carter and Secretary of State Vance when he returns to Washington. Bingham did say that he believes the opportunity is before us for normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba. A union note, the last time Congressman Bingham and his wife were in Havana was exactly 38 years ago to the day, on their honeymoon. Lionel Martin, ABC News, Havana. Actuality, an exclusive statement by Congressman Bingham to ABC Radio News.
I, of course, had wanted to see President Castro during my visit to Cuba. And yesterday afternoon, at the last minute, I was told that he would indeed see me. I went to his office, and we just sat there and talked for about 2 hours, and then he drove me in his car to Varadero Beach, and we had a wide-ranging discussion covering many topics. He showed not only a keen knowledge of events in the United States, but the wide-ranging curiosity on many, many subjects. He talked about agriculture and education, many other things. We, of course, did discuss matters concerning United States-Cuban relations. I don't want to talk about that in detail because I will be making a report to the President and to the Secretary of State when I get back to Washington. But I can say that it was a very fruitful discussion, and that I feel more than ever that we are confronted now with an opportunity to move toward the normalization of relations.